everybody. This is Mike Shelton, and welcome to a special episode of Simply Scripts Radio, a special one because it's probably been about a year and a half since the last time we did one of these, and two, I've been given the opportunity to speak with a producer slash director who is currently working on getting a couple of films based off of Simply Scripts scripts out into the stratosphere. So I'm going to be talking with him tonight about those, and you know, we can get a little bit of information on that, and I know they're supposed to be out soon, and they'll be available, and hopefully we can get you all the information you need so you can, you know, go out there and watch them and support our friends. My guest tonight is Timothy Woodward Jr.
Hey, how are you? I am doing phenomenal. I appreciate you guys having me on the show.
Oh, it's no problem at all. You know, when I first heard about everything that was going on a little while back, it was good because, you know, this was kind of new territory for a lot of us. Hey, you know, a script had gotten picked up off the site, and, you know, that led to other things, and you know, we just wanted to bring you on and, you know, hopefully be able to, you know, discuss the not only these two films, you know, really, you know, get everybody the info that they need on that, you know, help you to promote it some, but, you know, also just kind of, you know, let everybody know the process, you know, how did you find them, were you on the website, you know, this, that, and you know, just whatever information that you can share. So I guess if you just, you know, maybe tell us a little bit about yourself first and the two projects.
Okay. My name is Timothy Woodward Jr. I'm an actor and then, you know, just recently turned director. I also do a good bit of producing. Got a TV series that's on Hulu. It's called Hollywood East. My production company is also a partner of Hulu. You know, been the lead of three national TV shows and got a few movies out, Butchered, that's on Netflix, and Redefining Love, which is on Amazon. It opened up in theaters as well. And, yeah, you know, I always check out Simply Scripts for good product, you know, looking for stuff that, you know, someone like myself who, you know, isn't, you know, a huge producer, you know, something that I can get my hands on and, you know, try to see if I can work with it and, you know, put out a good product and see if we can get it, you know, into some home and where, you know, eyeballs can see it. So it works for, you know, both people, screenwriters who are looking for opportunity and also, you know, for producers like myself who are, you know, looking for product.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely good. Now, the I know you have ultimately two. Which was the first one that you found?
I found several, you know, to be honest with you, that I liked a lot. There was actually a lot of good stuff, you know, on the site. And a friend of mine, you know, told me about it because, you know, I've been doing a lot of teen romantic comedies and stuff like that. And I just really wanted to, you know, stretch, you know, my boundaries as an actor, and then also was looking at, you know, for product to put out originally just under my Hulu deal, and you know, looking at, you know, trying to get some product I could do for video on demand. And you know, out of all those scripts, you know, one stuck out in my mind was Blackout, which was written by Miss Pia Cook. And you know, it was a young attorney. The attorney was around my age. I had been talking to a friend of mine, Matt Hacker, who we had worked together on several projects, and he was, you know, a second AD on my TV series. He's worked on, you know, a bunch of bigger shows and stuff, and he wanted to direct, and I was looking for some beefy material that I could get into. So, you know, we read through the script. I loved it. Matt loved it immediately. We started sharing it with people. They were like, wow, they couldn't believe that this was written by, you know, someone that wasn't necessarily a professional writer, to say, or wasn't sent out by an agent, that was actually on this service. So, you know, I reached out to Miss P and asked her if she, you know, was interested in, you know, us optioning the script for the purpose of shooting a, you know, low budget, modest film that, you know, would be distributed through video on demand.
Okay. Now, is this the project that you directed, or did you direct Fight?
This is the first one, Blackout. And, okay. You know, and then the second one that, you know, was another one that Pia Cook wrote with Todd Gordon, because while we were shooting Blackout, you know, like I said, I love that script. So I asked, you know, if she had anything else in that genre, and if she did, you know, would she please send it to me? And, you know, she was pushing for one that she had that she said that I needed to read, which was Finders Keepers. And, you know, when I first read the film, you know, as far as an actor, it you know, really, it didn't appeal to me because it was in the woods, and I had just, you know, had a feature come out on Netflix called Butchered, which was a bunch of kids in the woods. And even though this one was much different, it was just because there's a lot of elements to the woods that, you know, people don't understand, you know. So I was like, well, if I could take it on as a director, I can take the challenge. You know, I can control these scenarios and I can do these things. You know, I'd be willing to take a shot at it. So we ended up, you know, shooting Blackout first and then immediately going into production with Finders Keepers. And, you know, I took my directorial debut shot at it and very happy with the product. And, you know, like I said, but, it's the woods is a challenge. It's not as easy as, you know, a lot of screenwriters, you know, aim for that and they think, hey, you know, because it's one location, it's outside, but there's a lot of factors I can promise you that come into the woods that, you know, especially when you get into post that you have to watch out for when you're writing these things.
Yeah, that's actually what I was going to ask you when you mentioned the woods. Now, is it just problems in terms of lighting or, you know, sound?
You have to realize when you're talking about shooting at night in the woods, okay? I don't care if, you know, the technology allows you to do certain things with natural lighting now that you couldn't do before, but even with using these new cameras, you know, with the woods, you have to backlight properly at night. You know, you can't just have guys around a campfire because then the background's going to be completely black. You know, there's a lot of that that goes on. And then also one of the biggest things that even hit me this time is every time you walk in the woods, there's a twig. There's some kind of sound. So even though, you know, we had everyone lobbed up and our sound is good, it was a major challenge when it came to post-production because there were so many snaps, pops, crackles. I mean, it's just, it's insane. Birds, frogs, the background noise is so intense that, you know, it's just something people don't think about.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people listening now, mainly probably writers from the board, will start thinking about that now because I'm guilty of this myself. I've written a Cabin in the Woods script, and mm-hmm. you know it's got a lot of that. So you know I probably will run into that problem, you know, mm-hmm. once it actually starts filming. So you know, hopefully anybody who hasn't done their Cabin in the Woods or you know anything in the woods script, you know, might think about it again before you know they get into it because yeah, I could absolutely see that being a problem as far as you know the sound and stuff goes.
Yeah, it's intense, and you know my only suggestion coming from a production side is you know try to tell your story if you can. If it's you're going for low budget, don't go a lot at night. If you do, you know, make it short. You know, try to, you know, if you're going to do stuff on the go, which you know Finders Keepers, there wasn't a ton that was written that had to be on the go, but the way I wanted to shoot this film, which is my own mistake, was you know I wanted to go with a natural verte, always on the go, fly on the wall, just, you know, really intense look, which it made it look a lot better. But for sound, it's a nightmare. I mean, especially, like I said, every pop, every twig. And when you're going back through and, you know, your sound guy's letting you listen to it, you're just like, oh, cringing. Why did I do that? Oh, my gosh. And so writers, if you use the woods, please, like I said, just save yourself, you know, have them standing there as much as possible. Use a boom. Don't just use your lobs. You know, make sure you're covered and try to stay away from night unless you are near a cabin, unless you are somewhere where you can really light it up to make it look good.
That is definitely a good tip. And I'm also going to point out that this actually goes back to an episode that we did a while back, and I had given everybody a tip at the very end, and it was kind of just a little bonus that I'd given people. And it probably doesn't amount to a whole hell of a lot, but I think I guaranteed people would actually get more views on their scripts if it starts with something that begins at the beginning of the alphabet. And that's kind of why I asked which one you found first. It ended up being Blackout. so it's just, ultimately it has nothing to do with the story, the script or anything, but there are, I think, with a site like Simply Scripts, where literally probably 100 scripts a month going up on there, you know, it's just a small little advantage for the writer. And, you know, hopefully if they've been listening for the past 10 minutes, maybe they'll hear that again. But, you know, that's just my little cheat.
It's amazing. it's amazing that you actually said that because I never until today thought about that. And today I was going through because we're doing, you know, a lot of PR and publicity for the film. And that was one of the things that, you know, even with video on demand, because it's in alphabetical order and people will literally on video on demand go through and A through D is no matter what is the most watched films. Every time when they categorize A through D, because people just get down and normally by the time they get to a D, they found what they like.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've always had kind of a weird thing for recognizing patterns, and I started to see these, you know, emails and or posts popping up on the board like, oh, my script's getting produced. I'm like, okay, well, that starts with letter A. This one starts with B, blah, blah, blah. So I just wrote a script, you know, a short, nothing long. I think it ended up being 5, 6, 8 pages, something like that. And I was like, I'm going to test this theory. And I named the script 180, the number. So it was guaranteed to be right at the beginning. I have gotten more emails from, you know, student filmmakers, producers looking to, you know, do something to increase their portfolio than anything else that I've written. I mean, by leaps and bounds. And the one feature that I've gotten the most emails on starts with the letter C. So I don't find it to be a coincidence. I mean, granted, you know, it takes a number of scripts to get to that point on certain things, but you know, ultimately the work stands on its own. But it's just that little cheat that I found. And I know you mentioned the you know, the on demand and things like that. And I know you've got these are getting ready to go out for distribution. Are they both coming out around the same time or?
Finders Keepers, because of the style, the way it was shot, you know, we shot it vertical, we shot it fast. It was really gritty, raw. We, you know, that film actually comes out first. It comes out this Thursday, and it'll be available, you know, in over 100 million homes through cable on demand, satellite on demand, and then also your providers like Walmart's Vudu, Best Buy, CinemaNow, iTunes, YouTube, just about everyone, you name it. And then it'll go to Netflix in 90 days.
That's awesome. I mean, is that did that take a lot of doing? And I shouldn't say a lot of doing. I mean, pretty much anything in the movie business takes a lot of doing. But was
It was a lot of relationships. You know, I had some relationships, like, and you know, and always the product stands for itself. You know, with this film, I got very lucky. We had an amazing DP. He made it look good. We worked really hard on it. And you know, because of having a relationship, for example, you know, one of few independent partners with Hulu that I already had for my show. You know, I had a relationship with a couple of distributors and kind of reached out to them to kind of make an overall deal for both films plus, you know, potential ones. And I just got really lucky and ended up with, you know, one of the biggest distributors there is. And, you know, we got really, like I said, we got lucky with it, and they're, you know, pushing it. And when they came back with the list of everywhere it was going to be, I was just kind of like, wow, you know, because, you know, it's going to be also on the biggest cable provider in Canada as well. So, you know, it's, yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, that's great. So it actually there are a couple different channels you had to go through for the distribution. I mean, it sounds like you got most of it with the main distributor, but then you know some of the other things are separate.
No, I got everything is through my everything as far as VOD is, you know, through my one distributor. And myself, I'm using VOD as also a way of marketing the film. And
Okay.
why I mean that is because, for example, your video on demand distributors, you know, that you have, you know, there's big ones out there right now that are putting out big movies that are doing stuff. My distributor just signed with a company that did Olympus Has Fallen too. So they're putting out a lot of really huge movies. So I signed with them, you know, to get this movie out, get some views, get some stuff. But the thing about DVD and Blu-ray is right now, not only is it hard to get shelf space, and it's dying, you know, it's one of those things that's kind of decreasing. It's, you know, there's cost involved in that. When your distributor, you know, puts a film, a product out, if, say they put 20,000 copies in Walmart and no one knows about that product and it just sits, what a lot of people don't realize is that product can have returns on it, and there's cost involved in that product, which allows you to get in the negative. To where video on demand, it could sit and go out to 100 million homes with no backlash. Somebody orders it, that's it. There's no refunds. There's no, you know, product to go back. There's no product cost that comes out. It's a digital stream. So it's a lot, you know, for me, it's a lot better to use the video on demand to create a buzz. 10,000, 20,000 people download the movie, they rent it. By the time it goes to DVD and Blu-ray in 4 months, you know, here we are. We've already had our run on VOD, and it's created, you know, some news articles, some publicity, some press, and people now know about the film.
Yeah,
So there's more.
it's a definitely I think a good plan, you know, getting it out there in video on demand. I mean, we have you know, I have Comcast Xfinity cable here and you know the Magnolia Pictures and HDNet and things like that. I always see they'll have things that are on demand and then you know it might be on there for 2, 3 weeks and then they could go into a theater on a handful of screens and then go on video. So they're you know kind of, you know, experimenting with different things. And I mean, absolutely, you know, you see everything is starting to go digital and video on demand. I mean, that's painfully obvious based on, you know, all the Blockbuster stores that are closing and you know, things like that, you know, over the past probably 5-6 years.
Yeah, my distributor is actually putting the new Seth Green film out in theaters on Friday in select theaters, and they're putting it on demand as well. I'm going to that premiere tomorrow night in Hollywood. But that's they do that all the time. So, you know, that's they're putting out Penelope Cruz's and Adrian Brody's new film from Sundance, you know. So, and that's what they're doing with that too, is, you know, putting it out in the major markets and theaters, and then also doing it, you know, video on demand. But, you know, these films, you know, we were going more strictly for on demand. You know, we are going to get one market here in LA where it's going to do a small little theater run in a couple of weeks. But, you know, mainly, like I said, we shot for the market that, you know, we were going for, which is the, you know, the horror thriller genre fans who wanted to see, you know, gritty, real, raw, you know, good writing, good stuff.
Sure. Now, just on the subject of, you know, distribution and things like that, I mean, I know the studios are starting to get into, you know, some of the things that the independents were doing, you know, going straight to the on-demand and things like that. Studios are starting to do that with some of their smaller projects. But what do you think about the and I can't remember what movie it actually was or what it had to relate to, but where they actually did it like a Kickstarter campaign and raised money to fund this film. I mean, a big studio.
Veronica Mars.
Yes, that's exactly it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I live in Hollywood, and I was around like a lot of stuff that was going on, but that was actually not, you know, the studio didn't do that. A lot of people think that the Veronica Mars creator actually did that. Him and Kristen Bell, the lead actress, you know, made this video together because the studio basically said, you know, they weren't gonna, you know, they weren't willing to fund it at the time, and he, you know, insisted that the fans would watch it. And that was kind of his way of saying, well, if I put it on Kickstarter and the fans pay for it, that guarantees the studio, if you guys put it out, you know, that it's going to, you know, going to be watched. And so, you know, they did it, and, you know, it was successful. It blew up fast. You know, I'm not going to say I'm in favor for it, but I'm definitely not opposed to it, because if there are fans out there that want to see their show, and there's a crowd, you know, a funding source that's available, and fans are willing to say, hey, I'll pay, you know, I'll chip in just to make this happen, more power to them. I feel like, hey, congratulations to them for being able to get their, you know, film greenlit when they couldn't before.
Okay, so the creator and Kristen Bell proved their point with these
studios.
Yeah, with their donations, and, you know, now the studio would say, okay, well yeah, there's a lot of people interested in making it. So are they taking that money that those people donated and putting it towards the making of the film, or are they giving it back and just, you know,
I don't know, but what I think they're doing with it is kind of like, if you donated a certain amount, now they're giving out like a free DVD, like those people are getting taken care of that did pay, from what I can understand. They're getting like all kinds of like crazy, like Kristen Bell signing autographs, they're putting somebody in a scene with her. They're doing a lot of stuff above and beyond for the fans that paid if they want to stay involved with, you know, and keep their donation in there.
Sure. Okay. I mean, we were talking distribution and different channels, and I remember that. So, but I'm digressing. All right. You know, we covered Finders Keepers. You know, that's going to be coming out this Thursday. Can you tell us a little bit about Blackout? And then, you know, I'd probably just, you know, like to get a little bit about your experience with the Simply Scripts website itself, and, you know, we could probably get ready to wrap up not long after.
Okay. Yeah. Blackout is scheduled right now for a June, July release. We wanted to have a little bit of time between. Originally, we were going to do these where Finders Keepers was going to come out in April, and the distributor wanted Blackout to come out in May. And then, you know, after talking with them, I told them, you know, please give me until June, towards July, because I just wanted to have a little space in them, because Finders Keepers would run for 90 days, and it's hard enough, and then it'll go to subscriptional VOD, which is like your Netflix, Hulu, stuff like that. It's hard enough to market one film, much less try to do two at the exact same time. So, you know, I wanted to give it a little bit of a space. But Blackout's a really, you know, like I said, it's a cool story. It was a favorite script of mine. It's probably the best I feel like I've done. You know, it's definitely my favorite script that I've done so far. It was intense. You know, you've got naked bodies you know, coming up, and you got a lot of, gave me a chance to really act. I thought the characters were, you know, written with several different dimensions. There were several dilemmas, and it wasn't just one constant storyline that was going on. There were several overlapping. And as an actor and a producer, that's what you look at and go, okay, because a lot of times in independent films, you know, the middle will lag a little bit, and the pacing is one of the worst things. People will write a strong beginning and a strong end, and they'll kind of get lost in the middle, and they'll start doing what I say is they'll tell me instead of showing me. You know, they talk about what's going on. And one thing I liked about Blackout is it was just, everything was really, even though it was there, there was a lot of undertone stuff that was, you know, going on and things that were happening. And, you know, before you could even, you know, when you thought things were good, bam, they got bad again. And there was another conflict. So I like it when conflict is introduced all throughout the script. And, you know, I like the fact that there wasn't a quick resolution and it didn't follow the typical, you know, structure of come up, let's tell our story in the middle, and then let's find a resolution at the end. It was just, you know, constant, bam, bam, bam.
And did you get that, you know, right away? Did you work on any tweaks to the script, or, you know, was that, it all pretty well that, as...
Yeah, we pretty much did it. Blackout was very, very close to the script. Matt tweaked a few things just as far as a little dialogue to make it sound a little more, you know, to the characters that we casted. Because, for example, in Ms. Pia's original script, Blackout, you know, the guy, Rommel, was completely different than the actor we casted. But, you know, in the independent world, you can't always get someone that matches the description of you know, what you got. You kind of got to go with the actors you have. And we had an opportunity to get Bill Oberst Jr., which he's considered the horror king, and he's done 80 films, and he's an incredible actor, through a relationship. So we kind of had to tweak it a little bit to him and give him this really creepy accent and, you know, add a little bit to make it where, you know, Bill shines through the film. So we had to do little tweaks and little stuff, but, you know, basically we kept the entire structure of it. And I would say a good 75%, 80% of the dialogue was kept too.
Cool. Okay. I mean, yeah. Now in closing, you know, just being a filmmaker, going to the Simply Scripts website yourself, looking through, finding scripts, reading scripts, how did you find the website? Was user-friendly? Was everything, you know, organized the way that you think it should be? Anything, you know, you could recommend as far as, you know, log lines for writers?
Yeah, I think log lines, sometimes less is more. That was what I, you know, liked about, well, that's what got my attention with Blackout, because that's going to make me click on it. If you give me too much of it, I'm not going to do it. Also, the message boards, some people on there are really harsh. Not going to lie to some of these young writers, but some constructive criticism can be good. I would just say, you know, to any writer, you know, it's a great platform to get your stuff seen. People read it. I discovered scripts on there. I have other friends who are actively looking for projects right now that are on there looking for stuff. But, you know, I do your research. You know what I mean? Look up what formatting is. Formatting is a very, it's a very essential thing, because as a producer and an actor who, you know, do this professionally and have been for 10 years making a living at it, you know, I'm not going to read a script that's very poorly formatted, you know, and if it's in a doc formatter, you know, something like that, I'm not going to even take a time to look at it. So, you know, I would give that suggestion. As far as the Simply Script site, I think it's very well put together. I think it's a good tool. I think that, you know, I don't know who runs it. I know there's not a lot of updates very often, as far as, or there hasn't been recently. There's kind of, they've kind of come in spans. I think that if they could work on one thing at all, improving it, I would say, like, you know, maybe picking a day where scripts come out, like even if you're going to only do it once a month, like the first of the month or whatever it is, because I think, you know, it from what I can tell, it kind of comes out randomly. Like they'll come out with a bunch, and I know I've checked there a couple of times just for looking for enjoyment, just for looking, you know, to compare a certain script that I may have to something else, or reading enjoyment, and there hasn't been an update or something, and I'm just kind of like, oh well, whatever.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely, you know, it becomes when he has free time, because I've seen the same thing, and it is, you know, it's perfectly understandable. I know he's got two kids. I think one is getting ready, you know, is at high school age now, and you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. I mean, me personally, I haven't really written a script in probably 2 years. I've done some tweaks on things, and I've, you know, done some reading and editing for some people. But as far as getting my own work down, it's like, whoa, it's become hard. So I can definitely understand, you know, when Don isn't able to get scripts up for a while. But, you know, we always try to tell people because, you know, those things pop up on the board. I sent my script in 2 weeks ago. Where is it? Well, he'll get to it. He's busy. Or, you know, it's just he kind of doesn't when, you know, they come in and he could have 50 scripts in the queue and he tries to get them up when they can. But, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a valid point. So, Don, if you're listening, you know, update more.
Well, maybe not even update more, but just to even say like, okay, the first through the fifth of the month, you know, at that time period, scripts will be popping up. You know, I think that even that way, you know, people know to definitely check back then if they're looking for new product, you know, or something like that, just a kind of vague date. You know, like I said, if it's only once a month, it's only once a month, but during that time, it'll definitely be there. Then I don't think you'll have people that maybe are first timers or something else that are kind of just like, oh, you know, I'm looking at scripts, but I know the script hasn't been, you know, it was written 5 years ago. Where's the new stuff? You know, and they can't find the new stuff and they, you know, give up and quit.
So has your contacts tried posting anything on the board that they're looking for something specific?
No, a lot of times, you know, because this is just, you know, feedback from people that I've told about it, you know, they're just on there, they're looking and say they'll do your thing where they go to thrillers, for example, and they look through, you know, A through B, C or whatever, and they can't find, you know, everything they like, they look at, it was written in 2006, mm-hmm. 2009, the person who wrote it only has zero posts. So they know that if they read that script, even if they like it, there's a big chance that they may not even be able to contact that person because they've changed email addresses or whatever. So, you know, that's one thing that I know a friend of mine was like, well, I can't find anything, you know, recently. And then when he looked on there, you know, the recent section, just by clicking unproduced, you know, the scripts hadn't been updated for like a long time. And he was just kind of hesitant then, too, and just kind of got frustrated.
Yeah, there's certain things. Yeah, I mean, if you're looking for recent stuff or something where, you know, you want to be able to get a hold of the writer, that would be my suggestion is, you know, maybe throw something out there on the board because there's always different calls for scripts and, you know, it will save, you know, having to go from A to B to C and so on and so forth. You know, be like, I'm looking for a script that fits this. And, you know, anybody who's got anything that's relevant to that is going to, you know, pop up. So, yeah. You know, suggestion.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. But then also, you know, by doing that, you're kind of putting a target on your head saying, hey, I'm a producer. I'm looking for scripts. Email me. And you, or message me, and then you got like 30 people or 40 people, you know, messaging you, and you know, some may be talented, some may be, you know, and it just, or maybe you might just be thinking about it. You know, I know I've had input, like Blackout was really, you know, I was looking for scripts, but I wasn't gonna push as hard until I read it, and then I literally was like, oh, you know, I got to do this now, because originally I was thinking 6 months down the road, you know, okay, I'm gonna shoot, you know, I'm looking for something I can do in 6 months. And when I got Blackout, you know, I was like, I want to be in production with this in the next 30 days because I absolutely loved it.
Sure. And, yeah, but, you know, just an idea. I mean, most of the time when I see those things pop up on the board, you know, usually everybody throws out their log lines in the thread itself. So, you know, nobody's inbox or PMs or anything are getting clogged. But, you know, just something for thought. I'm going off track again. So I'm going to wrap up now and just, you know, let everybody know my guest tonight was Timothy Woodward. He is the producer and slash director of Finders Keepers and Blackout, with director of Finders Keepers. And Finders Keepers will be available on video on demand and in a number of different channels coming up this Thursday, which would be, what, April 4th?
April 4th, yep.
April 4th, okay. And then second script film, Blackout, which should be coming out hopefully sometime in June and July.
It's set for the last week in July. I mean, last week in June. It's already set in place. It's okay. Set in place for the last week in June.
Okay, so we'll definitely put all the information that you guys need to get out there and, you know, watch these films and, you know, support Timothy and support the independent filmmaker, and most importantly, to support Pia, our friend at Simply Scripts. Tim, thanks for coming on. Well, I'm calling you Timothy. thanks for coming on the show, letting everybody, you know, get a little bit of a insight into, you know, the process and, you know, from script to screen and really from, you know, message board to script to screen.
Absolutely. Yeah. And like I said, I appreciate you guys having me. I think that, you know, Simply Scripts is an amazing thing. It gives writers an opportunity and a chance to get their work seen, get out there, and also it gives them a chance to grow as writers. So, you know, I would definitely recommend this to anyone who is looking at, you know, trying to grow and trying to be a writer. And I would also recommend this to producers who are looking for that fresh script or for something, because if you look, you know, look hard enough and if you look in the right places, there's a lot of very talented scripts on there.
Excellent. Well, again, thanks. And everybody listening, thank you for your time and, you know, for checking in with us after this really, really, really long hiatus. Hopefully we'll be able to do something else again pretty soon. But until then, check out Finders Keepers, check out Blackout, and check out the Simply Scripts main page for all the info on, you know, where you'll be able to see those. Until next time, take it easy.